Back When is sponsored by Siwi, the National Trust's photo printing partner. Every image captures a story. Siwi's support means the National Trust can protect our nation's memories by caring for and sharing our vast collection of historic photographs. Through our work together, we're uncovering precious and previously unseen images for everyone to enjoy. Discover our work snapshotting 200 years of history. Search online for Siwi, that's C-E-W-E, and the National Trust.
Their modus operandi was to get them drunk. Then they clasped their hands over the nose and mouth and then sat on their chest to stop them breathing.
Have you ever heard of the Birkenhair murders? 16 people killed in the space of 10 months. Their bodies sold for around £8. And all in the name of medical science. Have you ever imagined being a fly on the wall of history? Join me for an inside view of the stories of people, places and moments that made us. I'm historian Helen Antrobus. Lean in for a tale from time. Back When. In Edinburgh in the 1700s, there's a market for dead bodies, corpses and cadavers. A medical school is established in the city in 1726, and fresh corpses are needed by the students to learn anatomy. As the school grows and student numbers increase, more and more bodies are needed, and the trade of body snatching is born. Body snatchers take fresh corpses from graves and sell them to medical schools for around £8. Over £1,000 in today's money. And that's where Burke and Hare come into the story. But they don't snatch bodies from graves. They're murderers. They don't really plan to become serial killers. Hare runs a lodging house and he's owed rent from one of his tenants. But he dies before he could pay up. And it's his death that sparks an enterprise that results in Burke and Hare's lucrative killing spree.
Hare was out of pocket and it was like, oh, well, hang on, I'm going to sell him to the surgeons. I've heard that this is quite a good racket. And he sold him and he got a fair bit proof, cleared his rent. And he basically said, well, this is really good. I haven't had to do any work. My name's Susie Lennox. I'm a historian. I specialise in body snatching and anything that is macabre. Somewhere in history, it has got twisted that Burke and Hare were body snatchers. They were never body snatchers. Even Burke himself is like, throws his hands up and says, I am not a body snatcher. Such is the disgust, really. Burke and Hare are linked to body snatching because they sold their victims to Dr. Robert Knox in Edinburgh for money. So essentially, they have missed out the natural death bit and the burial bit and just killed victims. We know of 16. There could be more.
Let's go back a bit before we delve into Burke and Hare piggybacking the body snatching business. Edinburgh today is still considered a centre for medical excellence, and that legacy is in part due to the city having a medical school for so long. The first was established in 1726, about 100 years before Burke and Hare capitalise on their dead lodger. In the beginning, medical students train using body parts that have been preserved in formaldehyde, or maybe wax models, sometimes even dogs. And when there is a fresh corpse or cadaver available, students gather round in numbers to watch and to learn. But student numbers are growing, and by the mid-1700s, every student is required to dissect and learn from their very own cadaver.
And it was said that you needed at least three bodies in order to become proficient in anatomy. So that's two to learn the workings of the body and one to learn how to do operations.
Just one problem then. There's not enough bodies to go around, unless, of course, you start taking them out of their graves. And in the beginning, It's the students and the anatomists who are doing the dirty work.
You read stories where students have gone in and the grave's open and the grave clothes are scattered across the graveyard and they've just merrily walked off with this corpse.
But student numbers grow, and the unsavoury habit some trainees have of taking bodies from graveyards themselves is unsustainable. There aren't enough easily accessible bodies to go round. In Edinburgh, a new clause in student contracts, if you're caught, you'll face being thrown out of medical school. And so, a new trade is born. The body snatcher.
In the beginning, it's just like opportunists, men that are on the ground, or maybe send a little bribe to the sexton. Can you, you know, make sure that this corpse isn't perhaps buried deep enough? And then they realise that, hey, hang on, this could be fairly big business. And then it just kind of explodes.
There is good money to be made.
So back about 1790, the adult corpse could fetch £2, £2 shillings. Children were 6 shillings and measured like for the first foot and then 9 pence after that. So they were measured. They were on a rolling scale, as it were.
But prices rise. Body snatchers start demanding more money. It's becoming a lucrative business. So maybe it's no surprise that someone has the idea to start killing people to get their hands on the fresh corpses to sell to the medical schools. In 1827, William Burke and William Hare sell their first corpse, but the men who go on to become serial killers don't really plan to do so. Their backgrounds are similar, their paths cross, and it is a natural death that sparks an idea that becomes one of history's most notorious killing sprees. The men, both Irish, meet working together in Scotland. Burke separates from his first wife, falls out with his family, and leaves Ireland to become a labourer on the Union Canal. He originally settles in Falkirk before moving to Edinburgh. Similarly, Hare moves from Ireland to work on the Union Canal before then moving to Edinburgh to live in a lodging house. It's thought that the men are to have met while working a harvest, before going back to live together in Hare's lodging house. And by now, Hare is running it.
They started killing victims originally that nobody really knew who they were. Like sellers that coming through Edinburgh and passing through to go and sell their wares. Stayed at Hare's lodging house in Tanner Close and not seen again. It started because one of their lodgers died before he was due to receive his quarterly army pay.
With a dead lodger on their hands and no rent paid, it is too good an opportunity for the two men to overlook.
Hare was out of pocket and he was like, oh, well, hang on, I'm going to sell him to the surgeons. I've heard that this is quite a good racket. And he sold him and he cleared his rent. And he basically said, well, this is really good. I haven't had to do any work.
The next lodger whose body they sell, their first killing, is another man.
He became sickly and they said, well, we don't want people finding out we've got a sick lodger in our lodging house. We'll kill him. So they killed him, sold his body, and they're like, well, this is quite easy. So in the beginning, they're doing people that nobody's going to miss.
And their method for killing their sickly lodger is to become their trademark. So much so that after their killing spree, the method is named after one of them.
Their modus operandi basically was to get them drunk, so much so that, you know, they were probably vomited, but then they clasped their hands over the nose and mouth and then sat on the chest to stop them breathing. It's called Birking, taken from William Burke.
With 2 successful sales under their belt, Burke and Hare grow in confidence. They start inviting people back to their lodgings to get them drunk.
And they start targeting people that are on the street. So one of them is Mary Patterson, a local girl. Daft Jamie, so Jamie Wilson, another local figure.
Burke and Hare continue their killing spree. They've now killed about 15 people, and their next victim is to be a woman, Mary or Margaret Doherty. This is to be the beginning of the end of the men's killing spree.
Their downfall came on All Hallows' Eve, for want of a better day for them. And I think that's probably why as well. It's all kind of like whipped up into a frenzy. All of us macabre history lovers love that it's happened on Halloween.
And unluckily for Mary, who was Irish, like Burke and Hare, she just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Poor little old Mary Doherty, she'd walked, bless her cottons, from Glasgow over to Edinburgh looking for her grandson, I think it was. And she was in just the little shop at the end of the road, Rhymer's Grocers it was, where Burke used to get a dram every morning or every 5 minutes on some accounts that you read. And she was in there and he overheard her Irish accent and said, "Oh, lo, I am from the very same place that, you know, that you are from. And my mother, gosh, we could be related."
Poor Mary takes the bait and heads back to Burke's house, who's now also taking in lodgers. But there's a problem when they get back there. The other lodgers. Killing under their noses would be too risky, so they send them away.
In order to do it, they had to temporarily evict their tenants, Mr. and Mrs. Gray. So they kind of kicked them out for the night and said, "You go off and stay at Hare's house, come back in the morning, and all will be well."
But Mary isn't going to go quietly.
During the night, there's big arguments. Neighbours are saying, you know, like, keep the noise down, etc. And then it all goes quiet. The neighbours are like, "Well, what happened to the little old lady?" And Hare's wife, or Burke's wife, says that, "Oh, she tried it on with my husband, and so we kicked her out. And in fact, she's lying dead under the straw."
With suspicions already raised amongst the neighbours, it's to get worse for Burke and Hare when Mr. and Mrs. Gray turn up to collect some belongings.
In the meantime, the tenants that they've kicked out to Hare's house come back because they want to get a pair of tights, funnily enough. I noticed a pile of straw in the corner, and Burke was acting very, very suspiciously, like, you know, stay away from there, etc.
When Burke leaves the room, Mr. Gray looks under the straw and discovers the body. The men offer the Greys money to keep quiet.
They had bribed the Greys and said, "Look, we'll give you £10 if you keep it quiet. We'll give you £10 a week." Like, shh.
The Greys don't accept, and instead, they go to the police.
And then it just unraveled from there, really.
But Hare escapes punishment for his killing spree. The police, who don't have enough evidence to convict Burke and Hare, offer Hare a deal: immunity from prosecution. But they want him to be their main witness.
In order to convict them, Hare turned King's evidence and threw Burke under the bus.
Burke is found guilty and sentenced to death. And on the 28th of January 1829, he is hanged in front of a crowd of 25,000 people. Burke and Hare's endeavours did bring about a heightened awareness of the need for cadavers for medical research, and public revulsion at their killing spree swayed opinion in favour of a change in the law. Just 4 years after Burke is hanged, the Anatomy Act of 1832 is introduced, allowing students, surgeons and physicians legal access to corpses of those who had died in hospitals, prisons or workhouses, or whose bodies go unclaimed. But what became of Burke's body? Well, there was only one option, really. After being put on public display, his body is donated to medical science, and he is dissected at Edinburgh's Medical School. For any dark history lovers out there, it's possible to book a visit to see his skeleton, which is now on display at the Anatomical Museum in Edinburgh. Thanks for listening to this episode of Back When. We'll be back with more soon. And if you've liked what you've heard, why not give us a rating or review? In the meantime, you could check out our nature series, Wild Tales. But for now, from me, goodbye. This podcast is sponsored by Siwi, Europe's leading photo printing company. Every image you capture tells a story. Discover ideas for curating and creating your special memories and unique gifts for loved ones. From high-quality, personalised photo books to wall art made from your favourite photos. Head to CEWE, that's CEWE.co.uk, and start creating your story.